From the heart of our nation's capital, here's Family Research Council President Tony Perkins.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to a special Memorial Day edition of Washington Watch. Coming up, according to a poll commissioned by the University of Phoenix, only 55% of Americans actually know what Memorial Day is all about. Well, class is in session as our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin joins me in studio to talk about Memorial Day. Also, last week, FRC hosted pastors from around the nation at our Watchman on the Wall pastors briefing here in Washington, D.C. One of the panels that we had was a discussion about the crisis of manhood with the growing cultural assault on masculinity. What should be the response of the church? Alan Robertson from Duck Dynasty, General Boykin, and Dr. Pat Fagan from the Marriage and Religion Research Initiative all join me for an enlightening and challenging discussion. And I'm going to share that with you a little bit later on Washington Watch. The website, TonyPerkins.com. If you're on Twitter, it is at T Perkins. And I've been saying this, and they've extended it, so I got a little more time, a couple more days. If you want to join us on a remarkable cruise to Alaska, go to TonyPerkins.com. You can find out more about it. Join my wife and I, along with some of the FRC team. General Jerry Boykin will be there, former ambassador Ken Blackwell will be there. Former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann will be there. And so not only will you be able to enjoy the majestic beauty of God's creation in Alaska, but you'll also be able to get a behind-the-scenes look at what's happening in Washington, D.C. as we move toward the 2020 election. So to find out more about the Alaska cruise, July the 7th through the 14th, go to TonyPerkins.com. All right, Memorial Day is a holiday that is uniquely American, and we observe it the last Monday of May each year. It's a day in which we honor the men and women who died while serving in our nation's military. Originally known as Decoration Day, it originated in the years following the Civil War. Now, the Civil War, which ended in the spring of 1865, claimed more lives than any conflict in U.S. history, and it required the establishment of the country's first national cemeteries. Well, as more and more communities began to observe this Decoration Day, this day that we honored those who gave their lives in defense of freedom in this country, it became an official holiday in 1971 as Memorial Day. And joining us now to talk about this and the importance of this is our own Lieutenant General Jerry Boykin, retired from the United States Army after 36 and a half years, one of the founding members of the Delta Force, and, as I said, the Executive Vice President here at the Family Research Council. General, welcome to Washington Watch.
Thank you, Tony.
As it always is, it's great to be with you, General. Thank you so much. And I want to take just a moment. You know, I think it's good that we educate because, you know, you and I grew up in a different time when, I remember as a kid the parades and the veterans at the beginning of the parades and how we all honored the flag. We stood for the flag. But this stuff was taught not just by our parents. Mm-hmm. It was reinforced and taught in our schools. Mm-hmm. That's not the case anymore. And we have kids that are growing up that really don't understand the significance of these holidays like Memorial Day. I mean, as evidenced by this poll that was commissioned by Phoenix University, that 55%, only 55% could correctly describe Memorial Day as a day to honor the fallen from all of the nation's war. And 45% said they either always or often attended commemoration activities. Mm-hmm. This is significant that we don't lose understanding of the significance of this day.
Yeah, you know, there was another poll that was done, I guess, about 6 months ago. And polls are deceptive, but this poll showed that over 50% of the millennials today are not proud to be Americans. Now, if you stop and think about it, what Memorial Day is all about is honoring those that gave the last full measure. Honoring those that died fighting for this country. If the millennials really knew what a sacrifice that has been made by those men and women that have stepped up and said, here am I, send me, by giving their lives in service to this country, it would have to have the effect of making them to be proud to be Americans. And as you said, it's because we've lost our history, because we don't stress it in the schools, in the curriculums, about the sacrifices that were made going all the way back to our founding fathers.
Right. Well, you have to teach it. You have to instill it, because in America, only about 1% of the population actually serves.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
So they're disconnected. They're removed from it. Now, you'll recall this because it was a special day for you. It was your 70th birthday. Oh. It was the 70th anniversary of Israel, and we were in Israel. And, of course, in Israel, the day begins at 6 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Well, just prior to Independence Day, in which they celebrated their independence, was Memorial Day mm-hmm. in Israel. And I'll never forget this because it was like at noon, and the sirens, the air raid sirens across the country sounded. Everyone stopped. If you were walking down the street, mm-hmm. if you were driving a car, you stopped.
Right.
And for a moment, you stood and paid tribute. I'll never forget that because it was so – well, I mean, it was just gripping. I remember I was walking down the street. I stopped, and there was a car driving that just kind of kept driving. And a lady who was also standing at the street at attention ran out in the street and waved that car down
mm-hmm.
and made them stop.
Mm-hmm.
To observe that moment.
See, this is the kind of tradition that has, outside of the U.S. military, has been sort of lost. You know, on a military installation today, when they play reveille in the morning or retreat in the evening, you stop wherever you are.
Right.
You get out of your car,
that.
You put your hand over your heart, or you salute if you're in uniform on a military installation. You know, that is such a wonderful thing to me. I used to really appreciate that, even though I'd be, you know, having to stop on my way home or on my way to work.
I know. I have to admit that sometimes I try to beat off bass
yeah.
before they would
yeah.
sound it.
But it's a great tradition. And the Israelis are, you know, they are a unique nation, as we all know. And so you see them following that same kind of tradition. And it means something to them. It's important to them. And it's all about building that pride in
right.
their nation and who they are.
Now, one of the things I think that makes it a little more meaningful and relevant and present for them is that everyone in Israel serves in the military, and almost everyone, being it's such a small country, mm-hmm. knows someone mm-hmm. That has lost their life in defense of their country.
There's not a family in Israel that has been there for any period of time that has not been impacted by the loss of a soldier or a sailor or an airman in the Israeli military forces there. So, yes, they're all impacted by it, but it is small enough that they feel it and they care about it and they remember those people that have given the last full measure.
Well, General Boykin, we can talk about what's not happening in our schools. We can talk about what's not happening in our culture. But let's talk about what should be happening in our homes as parents, mm-hmm. as grandparents. You know, we have a national cemetery, federal cemetery, mm-hmm. in Baton Rouge, mm-hmm. and we have. I've actually spoken there. In fact, I think either last year, year before, I spoke at an event on Memorial Day. I took my kids down there so they would see it, and let them participate in these types of events on Memorial Day. What are some ways that parents and grandparents can make sure that our children do understand?
Mm-hmm. First of all, how you treat the American flag says a lot to those that are observing you. I have a big flagpole in my yard, and you've seen it. But I want my children and my grandchildren especially to see me handle the flag with reverence, to salute the flag, to stand at attention, you know. And I want them to understand that flag is more than a piece of cloth. It actually represents an incredible history that with a lot of sacrifice, but also hope for the future, hope for the future of the world. You know, America has been the most important nation that has ever survived in this world throughout the history of mankind. And I want them to see how I treat the flag. The other thing is we have to encourage our children to read history. We have to make it fun for them. And we have to get them into programs that do encourage them to read American history. World history is good, but American history cannot be replaced. We have to get them doing that. And we need to go get our Christians on the school boards so we can force that kind of thing in the curriculum in our schools.
Well, restore that type of thing in the curriculum of the schools that used to be there.
Right.
And, I mean, think about this for a moment. You know, when you look at and you served with and you led men who were willing to lay down their lives for this country, it was because it was for something that was bigger than themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And it had a transcendent cause that you talk about. When we lose our history and the significance of America and the significant role that America has played, is playing, and can play in the future for the world, if you lose that, then there's no reason to make sacrifice.
No, that's exactly right. And again, you're no longer proud to be an American. That's what's happening now because we've been robbed of our history. And that was very deliberate. It was to have ultimately the impact that it is having right now, which is to help us to have a generation that does not know their history, they don't value the history, and therefore they're not proud to be Americans. But look, I think that one of the most important things we can do for this nation is preserve our history.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why people like David Barton and Kenan Cureton, our church ministries guy, are so important to telling people about the sacrifices that were made in the name of God,
right,
under the banner of heaven, because our founding fathers were people of the Christian faith. They didn't agree on theology, but we need to reflect on that. And that's why when you run, as we did just this week, you know, last week, we ran a spiritual heritage tour over on, you know, Capitol Hill, and is so important because you find out that a lot of the pastors out there today really have no idea. The younger ones especially. The older ones seem to get it a little more. But that's because when they came through school, they were forced to study American history.
Yeah, it's one of the from the George Orwell's 1984, one of the most poignant statements is, he who controls the present controls the past, and who controls the past controls the future.
Mm-hmm.
And the history of our country is there's no greater representation of that than what's happening in our schools today, as people are trying to just take out our past in terms of America's exceptionalism and why it is exceptional. It is because of that biblical Christian foundation.
And you think about it when, you know, if you were a Jew in biblical times, you had to be able to prove your heritage, your lineage.
Right.
You had to be able to go all the way back at least to your grandfather if you were going to be a legitimate member of that tribe. Well, the message of that is that identity is important. And as Americans, we need to be able to identify with what? With the history and sacrifice that went into building this country.
Yeah. Absolutely. General, we're out of time, but folks are still going to hear more from you on the other side of the break, because I'm going to share with them the panel that we did last week at our Watchmen on the Wall conference on masculinity, on biblical masculinity, and how manhood is under attack in our culture today. It was you, Alan Robertson, with Duck Dynasty, and Dr. Pat Fagan. So, folks, stick around. I'm going to be back. I'm going to let the general go. General, dismissed. All right, folks, okay. Don't go away. Back right after this.
There is unprecedented religious persecution around the globe. In recent years, research has found increasing governmental and social hostility towards religious believers worldwide. For the last 10 years, Christians have been harassed in more countries, including the United States, than any other religious group. While the specific threats to religious freedom vary in type and intensity, one common source is the legal and cultural support for apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws, which often threaten the freedom to choose or change one's faith. In a new publication from Family Research Council, we list which nations around the world have these unjust laws on the books and spotlight people who have faced severe penalties simply for sharing or changing their faith. For more information on religious hostility due to apostasy, blasphemy, and anti-conversion laws around the world, visit frc.org/ABA laws. That's frc.org/ABA laws.
When you look at what is going on in our country and culture today, do you often ask, what can I do? Well, mark your calendar for the Values Voters Summit on October 11th through 13th in Washington, D.C., and join thousands of Americans just like you who want to change the culture in a way that human life is valued, families flourish, and religious liberty thrives. Past speakers include President Donald Trump, Vice President Mike Pence, Secretary Mike Pompeo, Kirk Cameron, Dana Loesch, and Ben Carson. In addition, there will be opportunities to meet with organizations and attendees that share a Christian worldview, and informational sessions focused on the topics of life, religious liberty, the LGBT movement, national security, the realities of socialism, and more. On October 11th through 13th, stand with thousands of Values voters to restore our great nation. Registration is now open. Don't miss the early bird price of $99. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information. That's valuesvotersummit.org.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm your host, Tony Perkins. You're listening to a special Memorial Day edition of Washington Watch. We just had General Boykin on talking about Memorial Day. Well, last week we had pastors from across the nation here in Washington, D.C. for our Watchmen on the Wall pastors briefing. And one of the discussions we did was about masculinity and the attack on masculinity. And on that panel, we had General Jerry Boykin, we had Dr. Pat Fagan with the Marriage and Religion Research Institute, and we had Alan Robertson from Duck Dynasty. So I want you to hear this because it's very enlightening, and I think it was a challenging conversation that we had. So listen to this.
We spent a lot of time talking about this in the last year, but it's the attack on masculinity. This is not just coming from the feminist, although it obviously that's where it started, but now it's prevalent. I mean, we were talking about it for 8 months. I refused to shave because of Gillette's attack on masculinity and their razors. So, but my wife finally bought me a different kind. this attack on masculinity, it's prevalent.
It is prevalent. I don't know how many of you realize, but the University of Texas, let me say that again, University of Texas, Department of Psychology declared masculinity to be a mental disorder. Brown University, one of the oldest in the country, is now teaching programs on toxic masculinity. It goes back to what Dr. Fagan said. He laid the groundwork for everything we're saying here because it is the Marxists that are inside our universities that are pushing this kind of thing, and now you look at men in this country. Look, I don't wear peg jeans, but or skinny jeans, whatever they're called.
And we're glad.
But if you look at men today, you wind up asking yourself, is that the people I want leading my son or daughter in anything, especially in the military? And this, trust me, this has had a huge impact on the military today, because when I grew up, young men wanted to test themselves. They wanted to, especially in battle, they wanted to prove their mettle. You don't see that today. And do you realize that only about 17% of today's millennials are actually even eligible to come into the military for one thing or another? You know, it could be physical, but it's also drug abuse, habitual use of narcotics and that type of thing, or just simply too fat and out of shape. So this whole assault on masculinity has taken a toll beyond the families. It's taken a toll on our military especially, because that warrior ethos, you come out of the womb meant to be a warrior. When you're a man, you're born, you come out of that birth canal, you're supposed to be a warrior. And you protect your family, you lead. And now today, society is saying, that's nonsense. That's not what you are. In fact, you don't even have to be a man if you don't want to. There's no difference between you and a woman except your plumbing, and that can be changed. Think about it. So this assault on masculinity is destroying more than just the families. Of course, the family is the basic unit. But it's destroying our military as well.
Alan, I want to bring you into this from the standpoint of having served as a pastor and dealing with families and the crises that are there. What do you see as the obstacle of one of the greatest obstacles for men to assume their role as men and lead as men?
Well, first of all, when General Boykin was speaking, for some reason, Beto O'Rourke came to mind. I cringe when I watch him apologize for being a man or for being white or whatever it is. It's an apology tour. And I think this man is running for president. You talk about not understanding being a warrior and what it would take to lead a nation. But I think he's a perfect example of what's being pushed now. And I love what Dr. Ferry put out there, because I think that's exactly right. I don't know about you, but when I watched that list, I thought, how diabolical. It has to be the evil one. A diabolical plan to destroy the family. To what end? I mean, so you can have complete chaos? And what we saw Marxism did in Eastern Europe, to that end, it's got to be of the evil one, because everybody loses. And so to your question, Tony, I think the greatest obstacle is, how do men overcome the evil one? Because he is the one behind the entire plot and the entire plan. That's why he whispered in Eve's ear first. And now we're seeing it continue on all these thousands of years later. I believe Jesus gave us the roadmap to victory, because the Bible says in Hebrews 2 that he was made like us in every way. And when he was tempted, he suffered so that he would be able to help us in temptation. So you think about it, the only time he ever interacted directly with Satan was when he was in that desert, about to start his ministry. He had fasted for 40 days. He was hungry. And all of a sudden the evil one appears and says, all right, here we go. We start the dance. First thing he tried to do was attack him physically. He knew he was hungry. He said, you have the power to turn all these stones into bread. Just do it. And what was his answer? It's not just about the physical. We don't live by bread alone. So he answered him, spiritual over physical. Our founders told us that we would have to live lives of restraint if we were going to have great government. And the only way that would happen is through godliness. And I believe that was Satan, his first attack, and Jesus gave us the answer, that which is spiritual. Second thing he did was he attacked his destiny, his purpose. Remember, he took him up high and he said, why don't you just cast yourself down? I mean, everybody will know who you are and why you're here. What was Jesus' answer? That's not the plan. That's not why I came. The Heavenly Father has a purpose for me, and I don't put the plan of God to the test. I live for his will. And that was our second answer. Every time we come up with these diabolical plots that we've been talking about, God has an answer for it. Because the last thing he did, you remember, he took him up on the mountain and he said, all this I control. And he wasn't lying. What we just saw on those screens was the evil one in control of all the institutions, of everything. And he even was bold enough to tell the Son of God, I control it all. You want it, you bow your knee to me. And what was Jesus's answer? There can be only one, and it's not you. So we have the road. We have the roadmap. We have the way to victory, but only if we're willing to get people to bow the knee to the Almighty instead of to the evil one. So I think that is the answer for men. I think it'll only have to be a spiritual awakening and revival.
I'm Tony Perkins, and you've been listening to a discussion that took place last week here in Washington, D.C., at our Watchman on the Wall pastor's briefing about the attack on masculinity and what the church should be doing to uphold biblical manhood. We continue our discussion on the other side of this break. Don't go away.
Grandpa Jerry, what are you doing?
What? What does it look like I'm doing? I'm sitting on this bench enjoying my tea and reading the news.
You always tell me that I need to stand firm for faith, family, and freedom. Why aren't you standing?
Well, now with this new Stand Firm app, I can sit and stand at the same time. And if you got the Stand Firm app, you could learn something besides that garbage of peddling in public schools. You could listen to Washington Watch with Tony Perkins, where Tony and leaders on the Hill and other culture influences weigh in on current events. You can read FRC's latest publications and articles responding to what's going on in the news, like this.
Oh.
You can play trivia and earn points for free prizes. You can even access all of FRC's publications directly to sharpen your mind and give you the ability to discern the thoughts and intentions of the heart.
I can be a mind reader?
Kid, that's from the Bible, the richest piece of literature on God's green earth.
Can I see this stand-up? Wow, this would keep me informed. Visit frc.org/app to download FRC's Stand Firm app.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins. The website, tonyperkins.com. You're listening to a special Memorial Day edition of Washington Watch. I'm playing you a panel discussion that took place last week at our Watchman on the Wall pastor's briefing here in Washington, D.C. And we've been talking about the attack on masculinity. Well, I mean, we can define the problem, but what about the solution? And so we turn now to Dr. Pat Fagan, who is the director of the Institute for Marriage and Religion Research Institute. We talk about this, the way forward. What do we do to uphold biblical manhood, to help men, fathers, husbands, and families succeed? Listen to what Dr. Fagan had to say.
Our Lord changed the sexual paradigm of the Old Testament. That's old. The new is, first, no divorce. How did the apostles react? They said, in that case, better not get married. Second thing, raise the bar still higher. You cannot look at a woman lustfully, but you've already committed adultery. Normally the second most grievous sin, right after murder, and appropriately so, because adultery leads to more murders than anything else. Third, some are called to celibacy for the kingdom, the few. Put all that together, what's the impact? And here's the solution. Followers of Christ, you and everyone you preach to are called to, now get this, I'm going to throw you for a loop, celibacy. You are called to celibacy. All your children, everyone else. Some, a few, for life. The majority, till marriage. Christians are called to celibacy except within marriage. And then there's very little difference between the two. For men, the first guys give up all women for life. The rest give up all women but one. Now, what we need now out there are fathers who will take over the sexual education and formation of their sons, and they'll have to take it over themselves in the home, because everything out there is toxic, everything, in the schools and all the rest. So they've got to step up to the plate. Their wives will follow them with the daughters, but the man has to go out front. We need warriors. How many men here are warriors, and how many warriors will you have in your congregation who can go to the school and say, uh-uh, he's mine, and I'm going to make a man of him, a real man, who will be a fantastic husband, and I'll teach him how. He will be a great lover of his wife, sexually and every other way, and then will be a great father. And that's my vocation. That's my calling. I brought him into life sexually. Nobody else here can claim that. You say it to the school board, you say it to the principal, you say it to the teacher. He's mine. Keep your hands and you're off him.
General Boykin, did you have something else, Pat?
Yeah. Well, preach that.
I will say amen to that.
Amen.
All right. General, we have, you've been doing for a few years now, men's conferences. This is something actually the Family Research Council now is shifting, because we see the need and the opportunity to address manhood. I mean, we're doing all these policy issues, we're doing all of these things, but we realize it's kind of like a hole in the bucket. Until you plug the hole, you're going to keep leaking the vital elements of the family. And so men are at the key of this. I want you to speak to the pastors here of the practical steps of how do we teach, preach, and pushing back against the cultural message that wants to emasculate men, how do we bring men into manhood?
Yeah, you know, think, what's the Great Commission? Go into all the world, making disciples of all nations. One of the problems I think we have in the church is we don't disciple men. I would call that mentoring men. A man has to have an example. And if you look at all of the young boys today that don't have fathers in the home, that's the root of the problem, you know, that they don't have mentors. So I think that every church needs to have a mentoring program. The old graybeards like me need to be mentoring somebody. And it may be more than one person, but there needs to be a mentor, somebody that's been down that road, made all the bad decisions, and can now reflect on those bad decisions and share the good as well as the bad. But if we don't have a mentoring program, some guy, you know, we do a men's conference. We have a number of people. Every time we have a number of people that come to Christ, they accept Jesus as their Savior. The problem is, if there's no follow-up with that, there's not another man to come along beside him and say, look, that pornography that you've been watching, you can get through this. I'm going to pray with you. I'm going to work with you. I'm going to help you. I talked to a guy in Detroit, Michigan last week. He's an Assemblies of God pastor. And we were doing a pastor's conference up there, and he said, I believe that this addiction to pornography is so serious with my men that on Sunday morning when I preach, I send all the men to a special class that will help them get through this, because it's such a pervasive problem in the church, and you pastors know. We need mentors. We need a structured program to have somebody that when these people commit their lives to Christ, we then have somebody to walk with them along their path to growing in Christ.
I'm Tony Perkins, and you're listening to a special Memorial Day edition of Washington Watch, a panel discussion that took place here in Washington, D.C. last week at our Watchman on the Wall pastor's briefing. We were talking about the attack on masculinity and the way forward, how to restore biblical manhood. We're going to continue our conversation with General Jerry Boykin, Alan Robertson of Duck Dynasty, and Dr. Pat Fagan on the other side of this break. Don't go away.
In states like New York, Virginia, and Vermont, radical legislation has been written legalizing abortion late in pregnancy, when babies can feel pain and are able to live outside the womb.
Happy birthday to you.
They've gone even further, repealing protections of infants born alive, allowing killing even after birth.
Happy birthday, dear.
Congress has yet to protect the life of every newborn baby. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com to send Nancy Pelosi a newborn hat to show Congress every new life should be welcomed with warmth and love, not hate, not death. End birthday abortions. Visit endbirthdayabortion.com.
Happy birthday to you.
Paid for by Family Research Council.
The latest Trojan horse on Capitol Hill is called the Equality Act. The way the left is advertising this bill is misleading because it does not further equality at all. It would actually violate current protections in place that allow private institutions and people of faith to freely act in accordance to their deeply held beliefs. The Equality Act explicitly removes religious liberty protections that were originally put in place with bipartisan support. Its stated goal is equality, but its actual result is harm to vast members of communities, individuals, and Americans as a whole by undercutting our foundational freedom of religion. Is this really what equality looks like? A more fitting name for the Equality Act would be the Inequality Act. For more information on the mass threat of the Equality Act, visit frc.org/EqualityAct2019. That's frc.org/EqualityAct2019.
Your email inbox is probably filled with a lot of free stuff these days. Free is good, but most of our email ends up being free spam. If you want a healthier diet in your inbox, add Tony Perkins' Washington Update newsletter to your email menu. This daily update from Family Research Council is our flagship publication, an update with the latest pro-family take on Washington's hottest issues. The update goes beyond the headlines and examines what is really going on in our culture and politics from a biblical perspective. Are evangelicals showing up at the polls? Are faith-based adoption providers persecuting same-sex couples? The left and the media love to answer these questions for you. Let FRC remove the spin and give you real answers with the Washington Update. To subscribe to this free daily newsletter and to subscribe to other free resources, go to frc.org/connect. That's frc.org/connect.
Welcome back to Washington Watch. I'm Tony Perkins, and you're listening to a special Memorial Day edition of Washington Watch. We're listening to a panel discussion that took place last week here in Washington, D.C. at our Watchman on the Wall pastor's briefing, a discussion about manhood, the attack on masculinity, and restoring biblical manhood. We pick up where we left off.
I've started working, and would be delighted to work with Tony and anyone else, on this issue of the father raising his sons. If that's not done, the whole thing will collapse. If fathers will not take care of the sexual formation of their sons, kiss the whole church goodbye. Now, our Lord is not going to let that happen, but kiss your church goodbye. Kiss your families goodbye.
I want to go back to something you made reference to in your remarks about what took place in Louisiana. And it's been happening in communities all across the country, the drag queen story hour. You know, I see that and I think, where are the dads? Yes, yes. And this goes back to what you were talking about, Pat, about the attack on the family. Because when there is no father in the home, there is no protection for the children.
Son.
And that's where men need to begin exerting themselves as leaders. As you said, Pat, that's my child. I brought them into the world. Get your hands off. I believe this time it is time for men to express and display some righteous indignation and turn over a few tables in our culture when it comes to our children. But there's this great fear, and I'm just going to throw this out for either one of you to address, but there's a fear that men have of stepping forward and being men.
Well, I grew up in a home where they don't get any more patriarchal than the patriarch of my clan. The long beard, the long hair. When he spoke at CPAC, a guy leaned over and said, "Your dad looks like he just walked off the pages of the Old Testament." You know, and he did. And everybody there had their bow ties on, their suits, and all the presidential contenders were in the back. And dad's out there with his tattered Bible you know, talking about sexually transmitted diseases to CPAC. And but, you know, what I learned from that, because I was mentored, and so were my brothers. Four brothers, mentored sexually and every other way by our dad, biblically, morally. He taught us. And guess what? We're all married to the same woman. And now we're all having our own grandchildren and becoming our own patriarchs biblically. Guess what we're doing? We're teaching our children and our grandchildren and mentoring them about the way it should be. That's what happens generation to generation. And the Marxists can try to destroy that all they want. That's what I'm going to do every single day of my life. That's what I live for.
Actually, the women, our wives give us the children. They give us the community. But men build civilizations. Through the leadership. Without leadership, there is no civilization. There is no culture. Without men, there is no culture. And I see this as the center of the storm. And it is God the Son who refers everything back to the Father. That's the paradigm. There is nothing greater in all of creation. You know that. We can't express anything. And on earth, the Father doing the same with his Son is the center of earth, of his creation, of the future of mankind. The enemy knows that. And he figured out before the rest of us Christians figured out how central that was. Back in the 50s, they knew it. We were still babes in the wood. Now we can see it. Every father is called to the fullness of his fatherhood, which is God the Father. Well, we do it through our Lord, but our Lord has asked us to do the same with our sons.
I've got a question for you that ties into this. Questions are coming in here, and I want to get to some of these. This is relevant to this. How do you get millennials to listen to older men? You're talking about mentoring. How do you get these millennials to listen as they're, you know, they're following around people, as you said, in skinny jeans that you know, don't shave? How do you get them to follow and listen?
Yeah, well, first of all, I think you have to make yourself credible in their eyes, and you don't make yourself credible by being judgmental. And I think that's, you know, when I was growing up, I was in such a legalistic environment that, you know, everything was a sin. And then when we'd go off on camping trips with the Boy Scouts, I'd see some of these men of the church, these men that I thought would be great mentors, you know, compromising on very basic things. So you got to stand for what you believe, and it's got to be real, and they have to see that in you. And I think that just your credibility of living your faith and living it 100% is enough to certainly to attract the millennials to wanting to share or wanting you to share and invest in their lives. But I just want to say one thing. Tony and I and Harold Harper did a men's conference down in Houma, Louisiana back in March, and one of the things that we did is we had all the fathers bring their sons forward and lay their hands on them and give them a father's blessing. Now, I think that's so much more important than I've never heard it preached on but one time in my life, but it's so important that we affirm our children, especially our sons. We affirm them. And that's why so many of these boys in the hood have no hope for the future, because they've never been affirmed by a man. So what happens is they get dragged into a homosexual relationship because some man comes along and shows them attention and affection for the first time. But what we also did is they were blessing it. We said, if you're a man out there and you've never been affirmed, you've never had a father's blessing, you come up here and Tony Perkins and Harold Harper and the pastor of this church, men of authority, we'll give you a father's blessing. And I got to tell you, there were more men in those lines coming up there for a father's blessing than there were in the lines of men blessing their fathers. It's that way everywhere you go. And I think, it's important that we understand the importance of affirming our children, especially our sons, as the man of authority in their lives. You ought to do that in your church. You ought to do that at some point. You know, and when Christmas and Thanksgiving roll around, those times when your children are in the home and your grandchildren are in the home, what I do is I go and lay my hands on my children and I give them a father's blessing, and then I say, now you turn and bless your children. Look, that's something we perpetuate, we can perpetuate, we should perpetuate through the generations. It should become a family tradition. And sadly, it is not in America. That's part of how we build men out of boys.
And we can't, you know, we can lament what happened in the past, what may have not happened in our own homes, but we can determine from this day forward what is going to happen with our children and our grandchildren. And you've got to challenge your men in your congregations to start being the leaders of the home, being the spiritual leaders, and you need to equip them as the pastors to begin leading their children and their wives and their grandchildren. I want to throw this question out that just came in. What about those men who have already been ensnared by this message? They have given in to this. How do you pull young men back? How do you draw them into that role of God-ordained masculinity when they've already been ensnared, especially those college-age men?
I think you let them know you're a fallen man. We all have the very same fallen human nature. Man is made. Look, I'll tell you something. I'm Catholic. I've been working this issue. The best seminaries, there's a lot of crisis in the Catholic Church. By the way, some of you will end up in jail. Cardinal Pell, if you're watching in Australia, dig into the story. He's in jail, so-called sexual child abuse. Everything about his life points the other direction. He's taking it all. Coming back, he didn't fall. His great patron all through his life was St. Thomas More, martyr, and St. John Fisher, martyr. He has brought Australia. Ireland, which is my home country, is a total mess because of lax bishops. Australia is very different because of Cardinal Pell. Now, what you do is, for these men who are ensnared, look, all of us are weak. Our Lord was most forgiving. What are the sins he was most forgiving of? The sexual. Immediately. Come back. I'm with you. I have the same struggles. I'm not going to give you my confession, but believe me, man, I know where you are. There is no difference between us. All of us have sins that our Lord has suffered for. You just invite them back with a big heart. They got to sense it from your heart. No judgment. But here's the right way. Here's where happiness goes. Our Lord points this way.
Really good point, that it has to start with the repentance, forgiveness, and healing, and then pointing to the right direction, because there are so many things in the past that have to be confessed, forsaken, and forgiven. I want to throw this out. This might be for you, Alan, as a former pastor, but, you know, with the absence of men in the homes, physically absent, in other cases emotionally absent, the women have stepped in to provide the spiritual leadership and more for the homes. How do you communicate to the women? In some cases, they become accustomed to this leadership, to facilitate their husband, who maybe is now being challenged to step into that leadership role. How do they make that transition?
I think that is one of the most difficult, and certainly in all my years of being a pastor, I got that question a lot from spiritually strong women who their husbands were weak. But I encourage them, just like Dr. Fagan just said, I encourage them that God still has a plan for you and your family. And the best thing for your family is to encourage and allow and get your husband to a place where he can grow spiritually and lead your family. It's still the best, even though I know you can't see the pathway to that. And I think that's where faith comes in, is when we can't see a pathway to God's plan, then we have to believe that he's going to get us where we need to be. And that's through anything. And I love what you said about forgiveness, because you're exactly right. To be transparent is to be open to what God has done in my life, and therefore it takes away judgment. And I think that's why we have to be very open and honest about our own weaknesses, about those in our family, and say, this is what God has done to give us something greater. We've certainly experienced that in our family. We put TMZ out of business with Duck Dynasty because we just told all our own stuff to everybody that would listen in all of our books. So you didn't have to worry about, you know, we weren't Kardashians with beards, because we were just going to tell our stuff and be out there and be transparent. And so, you know, I think that's the key. I do think it's very difficult when, because look, I had two daughters. I didn't have sons. And yet I still had a blessing and laid my hands on them, because I knew they would marry men one day. I knew that they would bless me with grandsons one day, which one of them has. And so that male influence would still need to be there. And so even those of us with daughters realize strong women who are strong supporters of men and raisers of men with their husbands make what we're talking about work, and work on behalf of the Almighty.
Quick, when the fantastic book has just come out, Devron, what's his name? He's producer of Breakthrough, black producer. His book, The Truth About Men, get it if you want to. It's written for the black family where men are absent, and it's grandmothers and mothers are the ones who have to form. I haven't seen anything so brilliant. He's a pastor. He's a Hollywood producer. The movie Breakthrough, his work. I forget his last name. His first is Devron. The Truth About Men. Absolutely fun. Best thing I've seen out there for this problem. It's absolutely amazing. Tony, you got to dig into it. You got to get to know him. You got to pull him in. He's, yep.
As we transition into our next period of time, I want us to spend a few minutes praying over these issues. I mean, we've got the critical nature of manhood. We've got the family. We've got the church. We've got the country. And again, we don't want to be burdened with a greater awareness of the problem. We want to seek God's heart for the solution. And I hope just as we've scratched the surface of this, you understand, and I think you know it. We're not telling you something you don't already know. We're just affirming what you've seen in your own congregations, in your own communities, that manhood, biblical manhood, is under assault in this nation by this culture. And you will only be putting a Band-Aid on a cancer unless we address this core issue of biblical manhood. I believe it's one of the most critical issues facing us as a nation today. We talked about the symptoms of religious liberty. Well, you know what? Religious liberty wouldn't be under assault if men were doing what Pat described, going to the schools, standing up against the cultural forces that want to steal the innocence of your children and indoctrinate them with the doctrine of the devil.
I'm Tony Perkins, and you've been listening to a panel discussion that took place last week here in Washington, D.C. at our annual Watchman on the Wall Pastors Briefing with General Jerry Boykin, Dr. Pat Fagan, and Alan Robertson, Duck Dynasty. If you'd like to know more about the Family Research Council and our work, go to TonyPerkins.com and follow the links over. Until next time, I leave you with the encouraging words of the Apostle Paul found at Ephesians 6, where he says, when you've done everything that you can do, when you've prayed, when you've prepared, and when you have taken your stand, by all means, keep standing.
Washington Watch with Tony Perkins is powered by the Family Research Council and is entirely listener-supported. For more information on anything you've heard today, or to find out how you can partner with us in our ongoing efforts to promote faith, family, and freedom, visit TonyPerkins.com. Also, to leave a comment about Washington Watch, call our watch line at 1-866-372-7234. That's 1-866-372-7234.